So who are these guys that Travis had to fight with?
Oh, they just, they're just redneck assholes from Ohio. I mean, they didn't know who he was. They just were there to fight, and they got their fight. And here Travis is with a broken hand.
So he and his girlfriend were in the wrong place the wrong time, basically.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. It's so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
I can't believe it, you know. He's going out looking for a fight. I mean, it's just like how juvenile. And not only that, it really... I mean, Travis is right now missing the biggest tour of our career, but he's not too happy about it.
Is he coming out on the road with you, following you around, or is he going back home?
He is, no, he's at home right now trying to heal up and seeing specialists and stuff.
It's a bit of a bummer considering you're planning to get a live album out.
I know, exactly, but we've already recorded some shows, so that's not too bad of a problem. We wanted to record a couple more, but I don't think it's going to be a problem.
So you're not going to go like you record the show with Damon and you think that is great and you can't use it because really you should have Travis in the album.
Yeah, we're not going to record one with Damon. We already got what we need with Travis. We would have liked to have more, but we'll be fine.
We can trace Blink-182's origins to the autumn of 1991. Bass player Mark was introduced by his sister to the 14-year-old Tom. Mark had traveled the world with his high-tech employed father, and it was a childhood of constant relocation. However, in the 80s, the family settled in San Diego. Mark's early influence was The Cure and Descendants. Just after he'd dropped out of college, he met Tom. Scott Rayner made up the trio, and originally the band were known simply as Blink. From the beginning, they knew it would be hard work, and the ability to shock combined with radio-friendly songs would help them make their mark. Blink-182 would take both their music and personal taste to the extreme. Just like Tom says, when he comments on the battlefield of love, his wife is both punk rock and a model. And for good measure, he always reminds us that they met right out of school. It seems to be that loyalty, friendship, and tradition permeates through everything Blink-182 does, even the stage dive, which began when Tom collected a $5 bet while touring with Pennywise. They kept paying him, and he kept doing it.
What are you going to do with that album? Are you going to have all new songs, or are you going to throw some of the old ones in?
Yeah, there's old, new, and really old stuff on there, I guess. And a lot of jokes, a lot of stupid talking.
Would you have a problem with that? Like a lot of swearing that will be bleeped and stuff like that?
We've always sweared more than anything in the world. I mean, I think we've had foul mouths. Way longer.
More than Sebastian Bach from Skid Row.
Yeah. What, did he have a foul mouth?
God. Not
really?
Half. Yeah.
We have songs of just cuss words, so I imagine that people were expecting a live record to not be too clean.
Yes, I suppose this. If it had to be bleeped at every time you speak and then you use a swear word or something like that. Yes, it'll be a bit of a problem. But you get away with things, though. It seems to me like, for example, you know, this thing with Adam's song that you played at a funeral, was played linked with a funeral of a kid who committed suicide at Columbine?
A kid committed suicide with our song on